It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week, I spoke to James about the government decision to make Aotearoa history compulsory in schools and whether the Green Party thinks this is enough when it comes to working on the partnership between Māori and the Crown. James also gave me an update on the government's progress on climate policy and talks about what his biggest concerns are for the climate emergency action. I began by asking what the Green Party's thoughts were on the government's decision to make New Zealand history compulsory in schools.
We're delighted. We've long supported New Zealand history being taught in New Zealand schools as well as Te Reo Māori. And so the announcement last week, we were just really pleased with.
What effect do you think this change will have on young New Zealanders and even teachers?
One of the things that was said last week when we were making the announcement is that a number of us have had amazing teachers who have done an incredible job of teaching New Zealand history, you know, either kind of for the whole country or for the area where they were teaching. But actually it shouldn't be left to chance. And many of us, myself included, got virtually nothing in our schooling that related to much of New Zealand history, particularly the 19th century. You know, we got a bit of 20th century, mostly stuff to do with, you know, World Wars I and II, but not a whole lot else. And so the idea of making sure that it's a core curriculum subject means that it'll have to get taught. And I think what that means, you know, as generations of New Zealanders are taught that, grow up, and kind of move into society, is that we'll have a much better shared sense of who we are, where we've come from, and what our identity is as a nation. And I think that that can only be a good thing.
Why do you think New Zealand history hasn't been taught in schools?
I think, well, basically colonialism.
Yeah.
For much of our histories, you know, since Europeans arrived up until probably the, I'm going to say, middle to late middle 20th century, we were thought of and thought of ourselves as an extension of Britain, and we're actually an extension of the British Empire. And so it's really only in the last kind of two or three generations that that identity, I think, has become, you know, much more a sense of self, and that, you know, that, you know, one of the things I notice young New Zealanders say is they have a much better sense of who we are and what it is to be New Zealander when they travel overseas and realise what it is that we're not. And so I think partially that's because we don't get taught what it is to be a New Zealander. So I think that's a part of it. And to tell you the honest truth, I think that the horrendous treatment of Māori over the 19th and 20th centuries was a real shame to New Zealand, and that meant that people didn't want to teach that history because they couldn't stomach admitting fault, I guess.
Now, that whole idea about or not changing the way people perceive themselves to be New Zealanders and perceive what New Zealand is, it's definitely something that is a cultural change, and if you're teaching young people, then that changes the way young people grow up and then become, you know, voting adult New Zealanders that have a different perception of what their culture and identity is. Is there anything else that the Green Party thinks needs to be done other than teaching New Zealand history in schools? Is there more that needs to be done?
Well, you know this about this because we're fairly vocal about it, but I mean, we strongly think that we need to teach Te Reo to all New Zealanders all the way through school. Mm. And the reason, there are a lot of reasons for that, right? There are kind of all sorts of great educational kind of benefits. You know, kids who learn two languages find learning a third and fourth much easier. But it helps to kind of create a sort of a more rounded sense of things. But importantly, because a culture really is contained in a language, like the words that of a language kind of contain the memes, if you like, that that frame how people think about themselves and about the world. And so when you learn a language, you actually learn a different way of seeing the world. And so for New Zealanders to learn Te Reo as well as English means that we'll actually, I don't think we're ever really truly going to be able to understand each other until we can speak each other's language. And so for me and for the Greens, that's been important for a long time, and we'll continue to champion that.
Now, I'd like to just move on to some climate emergency updates. What is the government's progress on climate action policies? Where are we now with the emissions trading scheme, the zero carbon bill, and other climate moves?
Well, so there's a lot going on, and the zero carbon bill is, I think they just finished the verbal submissions to the Select Committee last week, and so the Select Committee will be fairly rapidly kind of moving towards what modifications do they want to make to the bill. The departmental report, which the government puts together for the Select Committee, contains a number of changes recommended that came out of the 10,000 submissions that we had on the bill. So I think that there will be some modifications to the bill, which should improve it, which is good. Changes to emissions trading scheme is mammoth. To give you a sense of it, the zero carbon bill is a 36-page piece of legislation. The the emissions trading scheme reforms are 400 pages. It's a pretty complex, extremely technical piece of legislation, and I'm expecting that to go into the House in a few weeks. And we'll see how that goes. But I'm very pleased to be at the point of getting that into the House. And beyond that, the cross-government climate action plan that I announced at a Green Party conference about a month or two ago, that is picking up pace. So Peter Hughes, who's the State Services Commissioner, is meeting with all of the chief executives of the agencies that are named in that report as having particular responsibilities, and talking to them about how to make sure that we get momentum and pace on things like that. Now, that's a pretty big program of work right across government, and it includes things like the clean car discount that my colleague Julian Genter announced a few months ago to help lower the cost of electric vehicles and low emission vehicles. So, you know, that's just sort of one example, but there's a lot going on there.
Do you feel that with all this work being done, we're moving in the right direction in a fast enough fashion?
Well, in answer to the first part of the question, I do feel that we're moving in the right direction. I think if you think about it, you know, by the end of this one term of Parliament, we'll have put in place a legally binding requirement to stay within that 1.5 degrees of global warming. We're one of the first countries in the world to do that. We'll have reformed the emissions trading scheme and put a total volume cap on the amount of emissions that we're allowed to produce. We'll have started the process of putting a price on agricultural emissions. We'll be the first country in the world to do that. We'll have put in place that clean car discount to make it cheaper for people to be able to buy electric cars and so on. We'll have brought in vehicle emission standards, one of the last countries in the OECD to do that. We'll have set up the Green Investment Fund, to help shift private sector investment towards low emission technologies and businesses and so on. You know, I think we will have done more in one term of Parliament than the sum total of all previous governments for the last 30 years. So I'm really proud of that. And is it enough? No. Is it fast enough? No, it's not. Things are just unfolding so quickly. Our window of opportunity is closing very rapidly. We definitely have to be moving faster and being bolder on all matters relating to climate change. And I think that will come once we've put in place this legislation. You can already feel things starting to move. But right now I'm sort of feeling like it's taking a long time to get started.
Now, is that whether we're moving fast enough, is that your biggest concern about New Zealand's response to climate change, or is there something else that concerns you more?
Well, to be honest with you, what concerns me more is the state of global action. So I think that, you know, New Zealand can be one of those first countries in the world to really bend the curve on emissions and so on. But we are a pipsqueak in the grand scheme of things internationally. And I think one of the main reasons why I think New Zealand needs to move faster is because actually the safest course of action for us is to demonstrate to other countries that you can cut emissions and develop your economies and lift living standards all at the same time. Because I think there's a lot of fear out there, which is still reflected inside New Zealand as well, that actually action on climate change will just lead to, you know, lower living standards, and actually that's just not true.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.